Welcome to Transformation with Martinet. Martinet Emmons is a transformational life coach who broke free from childhood abuse, sexual trauma, and overcame cancer to become a powerful force of healing and hope for others. Martinet describes traumatic events as fierce emotional tsunamis. They can leave impending doom and destructive tidal waves of emotions that hit you when you least expect it. Martinet helps her clients dive into the depths of their trauma and pain as she stands fiercely advocating for them to shine a light on those experiences and find the lesson in the pain. She serves as a beacon of hope that guides you to see the strength, lessons, and purpose that can be born from the pain. You can feel alive with purpose again when you awaken your dormant strength. Step into your power with a sense of peace and discover a new wave of hope with the right tools and support. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation to inspire you to find hope and to see that there is a beautiful blue ocean of serenity, happiness, and fulfillment in your future. Transformation with Martinet starts now.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Transformation with Martinet. This is where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. And this is my favorite day. Fridays are so awesome because I get to interview wonderful, awesome people that have overcome things. And for those of you who don't know that my show is about the human spirit and resilience that we all have, especially those of us that have been through, gosh, trauma, adversity, having to overcome huge challenges. And I firmly believe, as my guests do, that we can get back up from anything. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest today, Paul Fortune. And he was diagnosed as an infant with cerebral palsy. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and how you became you?
All right. Yeah, I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and if your viewers don't know what that is, it's lack of oxygen to the brain at labor. And as a result of this lack of oxygen to the brain at labor, it can leave one side of the body paralyzed, it can affect your speech, and these things are permanent. These don't go away. So when I was born, I wasn't moving the right side of my body very much, and naturally my mother was very concerned about this, so she took me to the doctors to get some testing done to see what was going on with me. And it did indeed come back that I did suffer from cerebral palsy. And this doctor thought the cerebral palsy was so severe that he thought I would never, ever be able to walk. And when I got to a certain age, it would be a good idea to get me in a wheelchair because that was going to be my life going forward. And I've had many conversations with my mom about that. And when she heard that news for the first time, naturally, she was devastated, cried herself to sleep that night, wondering what was going to be for her baby boy, what the life I was going to live. Then the next day when she woke up to get me ready to start the day, I'm a newborn, so I can't really talk, but she said that I gave her a look if to say, "Mom, don't let this be my story. I want to walk."
Ooh.
And that mama bear inside of her started raging. She got a second opinion, a third opinion, a fourth opinion, a fifth opinion, finally found a physician willing to help. And with this physician's help and me doing physical therapy 5 to 6 times a week, I was able to walk between age 2 and 3. Now, I don't really remember it that much, but I do remember being put into soccer roughly when I was about 5 years old. And at the time, I probably could run, I don't know, 25 to 50 yards before my leg would give out. So on the soccer field, I'm basically standing there where kids are playing soccer around me. And I'll never forget this. One day after practice, I was just fed up. I didn't want to play soccer anymore. Kids were teasing me. I wasn't having fun. I was going to tell my mom that I don't want to play soccer anymore. And I'll never forget what she told me because it's stuck with me today in my personal life and my business life. She said, "Paul, if you do not want to play soccer anymore, that is fine. But you need to honor your commitments. So you need to finish out that soccer season. And if you don't want to play soccer after that, that is your prerogative." And that's exactly what has happened. I'm 41 years old and I haven't played soccer since I was 5 years old.
That is a beautiful lesson. We do need to finish what we start.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then we can reevaluate after you committed to something. And if you don't want to do that anymore, then you don't have to. But you need to honor what you set out for you, whether it be a verbal contract or you sign something, you got to honor that. I'm a firm believer on that. And I learned that lesson at 5 years old.
Yeah. I believe it was, I'm a big fan of Maya Angelou her sayings and just her grace and Lisa Nichols too, which I work with her and she just says that, you know, you want to be a woman or a man of your word. And if you start something, you know, like you said, we should finish it. And that's really important. That builds that confidence inside of us.
Absolutely. And you're reliable. Like people can count on you because your word is your bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always, I was raised that way anyway, you know, that you show up on time, you honor other people's time, you know, it's a very good lesson to impart to your children or, you know, just to keep in your own head to live your life. So, you know, I am a mother of three and I understand that mama bear. Oh my gosh, I do. There was a show I saw not too recently, and I'm not a big TV fan, but I remember just this little talk between these characters and the man's like, I can't not believe that you would do this. What makes you do this? And she's like, I'm a mother. and it just like, it just struck me and it stayed with me, you know, the last few days here. And it's like, yeah, there really isn't anything. It's like, you can say anything about me. I may not like it. It may hurt, but if you do something to my kids or say something to my kids, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will fight.
Yeah. There's something magical about that because my mom said, you know, before she had me, that she didn't have this confidence, but once she, once I was born, she can't explain it, but there was something different about her that she was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes and I'm not going to be scared about it. I'm going for it. So it's just kind of a magical thing that mothers go through transition.
It is. And I don't like take anything from men or anything like that, but it's like, you have no way of knowing. You just don't of what you know, because women, you carry that baby and there's just this fierceness that it's hard to explain unless you're a little bit more, you know, have a mom like yours that's just, you know, I haven't had to fight like that. My kids have been pretty healthy. I'm lucky, you know? So that's big. Yeah. So as your life started to progress after soccer, what did you do? What did you do to make your own self strong and healthy?
So I got a big break right after that soccer season. Mm-hmm. I got surgery on my right foot to tighten up the tendon to give me a little bit more spring in my step. Mm-hmm. And this was a huge game changer for me. I didn't know how big it was until I switched schools around this time. Mm-hmm. So my first day of PE, we did our stretches and the teacher says, okay, guys, run a lap. And I'm thinking to myself, here we go again. I'm going to run 25 to 50 yards. I'm going to have to stop. Mm-hmm. These kids are going to see that and they're going to start to tease me again. But because of the surgery, it was different. I was able to go past that point where I normally have to stop. And I remember saying to myself, come on, Paul, you got this, buddy. Keep going, keep going. And I finished the lap with the other kids. On the outside, I kept it cool. But on the inside, I was like, yes, yes, yes. The first time in my young life where I just fit in. I didn't stand out. Yeah. It was a great feeling. And because of the surgery, things did get easier for me. But I wouldn't consider them easy. My parents got divorced roughly when I was about 12 or 13 years old. Mm-hmm. So I had to switch schools at that time. And that's a tough age to switch schools at.
You know,
kids are going through hormonal changes. They're becoming teenagers. Mm-hmm. And most of these kids have been going to school with each other for years and years, and they've already formed their cliques. So it's just hard just being a new kid alone and breaking into that situation. But I'm a new kid who walks with a little bit of a limp and holds his right arm differently. Mm-hmm. So it was even tougher for me. I was bullied, teased quite a bit. And I came from this silly old school mentality where you didn't tattle, you didn't squeal. So I kept all this emotion inside of me, bottling it up, which was not a good thing to do.
Right.
And while I was going through this, I was raised Catholic. So my mom wanted me to go to a Catholic high school. So I had to take an assessment test to see where they were going to place me when I got to high school. Well, I must have bombed the test, because when I met with the principal and my mom, the principal tells the both of us that she's going to put me at the lowest level possible. And because of my test scores, I don't seem like I'm going to be college material after one test. This principal says this to us. So now I think I'm stupid. I'm going back to a school that I'm getting bullied and teased at. I'm crying myself to sleep most nights. Why do I have to go through this? Why can't I just be like every other kid? I don't know what came over me, but the start of eighth grade, the year before high school, I was sick and tired of feeling angry and sad all the time. I knew deep down those weren't my go-to emotions, but because of the environment I was in, those were the emotions that were coming up most of the time. So I thought, what if I focused in on like a goal or something, and that would help me ignore the noise that was going on outside of that with, you know, the kids bullying and teasing me and people telling me I'm not college material.
Right.
So I thought, what could that goal be? And at the time I loved baseball. So I made a goal for myself to try to make my varsity baseball team when I got to high school. So I started enrolling in fall ball, winter ball, spring ball. And if I wasn't doing that, I was throwing a tennis ball against the wall. And I remember a coach coming to me after practice one day and says, Paul, you play a lot of baseball. Do you have any goals with that? And I didn't want to tell him my goal was to make my varsity baseball team, because I didn't want to laugh at him, him to laugh at me.
Gotcha.
But he was persistent. He kept asking me that question. And he caught me at a weak moment one day, and I blurted out, I want to make my varsity baseball team in high school. And I'm bracing myself for him to laugh at me and tell me that's not going to happen. But he didn't. He paused for a second and he said, that's doable. I'm like, what? It's doable? He goes, yeah, it is doable, but you have to have other people keep you accountable for this goal. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? He goes, after practice tomorrow, you're going to go in front of the team and you're going to tell the team that's your goal. And I'm like, no, please. I don't want to tell the team that. They just finally accepted me and they stopped making fun of me. If I tell them that, they're going to start making fun of me again. I'm giving them fuel. And he's like, Paul, the only way you're going to make this goal is other people need to keep you accountable for it. So you need to do it. So reluctantly, I did it. I went in front of the team. I was shaking and I told the team my goal. And again, I was bracing myself for them to laugh at me, but they didn't. They clapped and cheered for me. And the great thing about this, I know this now. I didn't know this when I was going through this, but I started sending a different energy out towards these kids. I started gaining more confidence in myself, my shoulders back, my head up. And as a result of this new energy I was sending out to these kids, they sent a new energy back towards me. Instead of bullying and teasing me, they started rooting for me. And that was the win. But the cherry on top of the whole thing was I was able to make my varsity baseball team as a junior and a senior. And they poured the Gatorade on me and I felt so alive. I felt so good about myself.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. I can like feel all that, because I was picked on for not obviously for something like that, but you know, whether it was glasses or being a little chunky or whatever it was, I was picked on, plus being like the most shyest person on the planet. Oh, no. May not seem that way now, but I was just so tried to stay hidden as much as I possibly could. So I really feel that. And I imagine so many people in the audience feel that too. It's so hard growing up, let alone having a little bit more difficult challenges.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but I commend you. That's wonderful. Beautiful. And what an awesome, awesome coach.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh right? Yeah. I lost touch with him, but he was a big part of that journey for me at the time.
Yeah. It reminds me actually of Les Brown. Are you familiar with him?
I am.
Yeah. He had a teacher, you know, he was made fun of. He had a twin, as you probably know, and one was smart and he was not the not so smart one. And a teacher told him to go up on the board and figure out a problem. And he said, no, I can't, I'm the dumb twin. And he goes, oh, you get up there and you do it. Don't you let anybody tell you that. And we need more people like that, like us in our coaching world, right? We need 100%. People like us. Yes.
Yeah. It just takes one person and it can change your life.
Yep. Yeah.
Huge thing.
Yeah. And have somebody, even if you don't quite believe in yourself right now, if someone else does, that helps you borrow their belief in you.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. That was good. So I don't know if you want me to continue on a little bit or.
We are going to take a brief break, but we will come right back.
All right.
Thank you everyone for listening.
It is absolutely possible to transform your adversity into positivity, minimizing your stress and illness with a mindset reset. Martha Davidson is a mindset reset consultant and rapid transformational therapist. She shares four mindset hacks that can lessen your stress and be the catalyst to accelerate happiness, amplifying newfound inner peace of mind. For more information, visit marthadavidson.com. To the beautiful soul who is sick and tired of not being the fullest expression of herself, she who is disconnected from herself, her body, her voice, and her power. She's overwhelmed and exhausted from trying to be everything for everyone except for herself. If you hear these words and they stir something within you, then this is for you, beautiful soul. It is time to come home to yourself. Sandra Suarez Dominguez can guide you there. Visit luminousinnerwisdom.com. Have you been wondering if this is all there is for you? Feeling the pull that there has to be more? Knowing that you were meant for something big? That is the beginning of your spirit awakening. Your soul is ready to blossom into its truth. Learn how to access your inner priestess with Jamie Hearn, who loves guiding women on the process to becoming exactly who they are. Visit jamiehearn.com. That's J-A-M-I-H-E-A-R-N.com.
Are you a caregiver who has given everything you have to your loved one and has nothing left for yourself? If you find that you're often feeling drained, overwhelmed, exhausted, angry, and burnt out, then you are in the right place. Debbie Weiss has been a caregiver for over 40 years. She experienced those same emotions until she discovered that she had a secret power. She can help you do the same. For more information, visit caregiversupportsquad.com.
Did you know that you hold the greatest truths in your body? Are you ready to feel more confident, claim your desire, and speak it out loud? Are you ready to increase your capacity for pleasure? Yes! The Rediscovering My Body coaching program is for you. Tara Galliano has been transforming women's sexual lives for over 2 decades as a sex therapist. Let her help you. Visit rediscoveringmybody.com. That's rediscoveringmybody.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet. This is where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today, Paul Fortune, has been talking about cerebral palsy and his journey of, well, his life of starting out with it and how he's overcome. So, Paul, we left off basically with making the varsity team. Mm-hmm. And what else? What happened next?
So I really started to think about that goal that I set for myself. When mm-hmm. I first made that goal of making the varsity baseball team, mm-hmm. I thought it was near impossible. I wasn't going to do it. It was just some way to kind of ignore the noise that I was feeling. Mm-hmm. But I was able to accomplish it. So I started to think about what that principal said to me years earlier as well about mm-hmm. not being college material. See, all through high school, I pretty much mailed it in. I just did enough to stay eligible to play mm-hmm. baseball. Because in the back of my head, I was like, what's the point? I'm not college material. Let's not waste any time. Just do enough to get by and move on with yourself. So mm-hmm. my grades weren't that great in high school. But I thought, well, if I could make this goal, why can't I set another goal for myself to say that I am college material? So mm-hmm. I enrolled into a junior college because that was the only place that would accept me at the time. Mm-hmm. And I got myself a math tutor. I got myself a tutor for other subjects. And I went to the math lab, and I did this pretty much 5 days a week. And with all this hard work, I took that barely a 2.0, probably lower than a 2.0, all the way to a 3.5, where I was able to transfer to a four-year university and become college material and graduate. And I so yes. wanted to go back to that principal and say, see, you were wrong. I was right. college material. But, you know, I thought about it. I go, I should probably thank this principal because I heard her voice playing in my head over and over again in college. Mm-hmm. And my next thought was, I'll show you I am college material.
There you go.
So I hit the books hard because of that. So mm-hmm. I just forgive and I move on. So now I'm, 22, 23 years old. I have no life experience. I have no idea what the heck I want to do with my life, right? Mm-hmm. So I had a family friend who was a CEO of a small bank, and he said, "Hey, Paul, we're looking for loan officers. I could hire you. You want to try, give it a try?" And I'm like, "I got nothing going on. Let's do it." So he hires me. I'm excited. My first real job. But when I got in, no one wants to talk to me. I'm sitting alone at lunch, and it just was a bad situation. And I'm like, I haven't felt this way since middle school. Like, what is going on? And I quickly realized what the issue was. Everybody knew I was hired by the CEO. So it wasn't because of my talents, it's because of who I knew. So what they were going to do is they were going to chew me up and spit me out because I didn't belong there. So I was determined to change that. So I dug in. I didn't complain about the workload. I had a great attitude. And from afar, I was observing what top loan officers did in the company because they didn't want to talk to me at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget my first day of wanting to go out in the field and get loans for the first time. I got my rate sheets. So I'm going to go out there and do it. And my family friend CEO stops and goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm going to go out and get loans. I'm going to go out in the field and get some loans for us." And he has a concerned look on his face. He goes, "No, no, no. Let's get you a little more training and we'll send you out in a little bit." And I'm like, "No, no, no, no. I got this. Let me go." And he's like, "Okay, go." And he was absolutely right. I needed more training. I was falling flat on my face left and right. But months would go by and I started to realize what value I could add to these clients. So I started bringing loans and more loans and more loans and more loans. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, I became a top producer in this company. Mm-hmm. And the people that when I first got there didn't want to talk to me are now coming to me with questions on how I was able to turn around at such a fast clip. And I learned a big lesson from this, from a professional and personal standpoint, mm-hmm. that don't judge somebody by somebody else's opinion about them. Allow mm-hmm. them the benefit of the doubt, because yeah. I brought in millions and millions of dollars for this company. Mm-hmm. And there was days when I first started working there, when I wasn't getting good treatment, that I wanted to quit, but I pushed through it. But what if I did quit? Mm-hmm. The company would have missed out on millions and millions of dollars, all because there was people in there that didn't want to give me the benefit of doubt. They were just going off of somebody else's opinion that wasn't even true about me. So I learned a lesson early on when people in my personal life or my professional life, somebody says something negative about somebody before me even really getting to know them, I just take that as a grain of salt and I mm-hmm. give them the benefit of the doubt, because you just never know. People surprise you in beautiful ways. So,
oh, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really agree. There's actually a program I got into recently, just like, you know, probably like you're probably like me, you're always learning, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And improving your skills. Mm-hmm. And I got into this program and I remember one of my colleagues saying, "Stay clear of so-and-so." And, you know, didn't go into a lot of details, but you're not going to like her. And I know I started like forming this opinion and I'm like, no, wait a minute. I don't know. Yes, I respect her, but I don't know this person. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? I'm going in with not knowing any information. And it turned to be a really good connection.
Awesome.
I think that's really like something like we have to make our own opinions, our own judgments, our own everything, you know, without being told something like so-and-so isn't so good. Well, maybe you didn't get along. Doesn't mean I won't.
Absolutely.
You know, I could have ruined something by taking that on, and I'm glad I didn't. You know.
Yeah, you never know. You know, mm-hmm. you might have changed that person's life in some way because you gave that person the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think that's how we have to look at those kind of things. That, mm-hmm. You know, we're all so different.
Yeah.
So yeah. So.
So anyway, so I'm in this, and I'm really loving. In the mortgage industry, I thought mm-hmm. this was going to be my life's work. And I was living for Mondays. I was like, I can't wait for Mondays. I know that sounds silly, but I was living for
Mondays.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And then 2008, 2009 hit and the economy just tanked it. And the whole company, the whole bank went belly up. So I had to get another job in the mortgage industry and that company went belly up. And this happened 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. And in this process, I started to really lose the luster of the mortgage industry. I didn't have that feeling of living for Mondays anymore. Mm-hmm. I was living Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I would have the Monday blues, which happens Sunday evening, worry about all the stresses about Monday. And that was just not a great way to live. But I'll never forget one of my last places I was at, they brought in this motivational speaker to, mm-hmm. to pump us up, to get the sales numbers up.
Yeah.
And the guy blew me away. The guy was so good. So after the presentation, I went up to him and I told him how great of a job he did. And he allowed me to pick his brain a little bit. And he told me mm-hmm. he started as like a life coach. I'm like, what the heck is a life coach? And he explained that to me. And I'm like, man, maybe that's what I want to do. So on the off time of doing the mortgage stuff, I was getting my coaching certificate. And I started telling people, I want to start getting into this life coaching thing. And people are humoring me going, okay, Paul, go ahead and save the world. But before you do that, get a few loans in the pipeline, will you? And so that was going on. But then things got serious. I started my website. I started posting stuff on my social media. Mm-hmm. And the legal team came to me and goes, what are you doing? And I was very, very transparent. I said, this is my full-time job in the mortgage industry. And I'm going to do this part-time thing coaching. And they're like, this could be a conflict of interest. We're going to have to get back to you on this. And I'm thinking, oh, that doesn't sound good. And they came back with this 5-page report of what I couldn't say. And I looked at this report and I was like, there's no way I'm going to make any traction in the coaching world if I follow this to the T.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the decision. So for a year, I didn't do any coaching. I just focused in on the mortgage stuff, paid down all my debts.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later, I made the leap of faith and I quit. And people are looking at me like, you are crazy. Why are you quitting? You're a mortgage loan officer. You just made President's Club. You're good at what you do. This life coaching thing is pie in the sky nonsense. And I go, maybe so, but I got to give it a go. And I'm like, okay, you'll be back. And for a while, I thought they were right. I thought I wasn't going to make it because I wasn't getting any coaching clients. I wasn't getting any speaking gigs. I was getting nothing. And I did some soul searching. And I thought about this. How do I expect people to be vulnerable with me if I'm not vulnerable with them? Mm-hmm. See, the story I told you about having cerebral palsy,
yeah.
I wanted to bury that story. I didn't want to tell anybody that story because all through growing up, all I wanted to do was fit in. I didn't want any special treatment. I just wanted to be treated like everybody else. So just the thought of bringing that up, I would be near in tears talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the only way this is going to happen is if I really go, really tell my story. So at first it was real shaky, very emotional about it. I went on podcasts. I told everybody, anybody mm-hmm. that would listen to me and told my story. And I told it over and over again. And I got more confident about it. I'll never forget my first client ever said, Paul, I don't have cerebral palsy, but I have X, Y, and Z, and I'll be honored if I could hire you. And we've just been building there with coaching clients and speaking engagements. And it's all about now taking back your pen and writing the story that you want for yourself, not for anybody else, but for yourself. Because all through my life, people wanted to take the pen from me and write how my story should go. And all through my life, I said, no, I'm going to write it the way I want to write it.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. It is scary to share your story. I know that I've been through a lot myself. Mm-hmm. And one of my master coaches told me that, a long time ago, that who are you not to share your story? That story can save someone else.
Yeah.
And it's your responsibility to share it. And you, because you never know, just like, a person could be so down or so frustrated, so depressed, and they might get something from you telling your story.
Yeah.
That gives them hope. That's why I do this show. You know, that's why I am a life coach myself. That's why I do this work, because we need each other. And when we share stories like this, we connect. And that's so important, especially in today's world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break and then we will continue more good conversation. Thank you, everyone.
To the beautiful soul who is sick and tired of not being the fullest expression of herself, she who is disconnected from herself, her body, her voice, and her power. She's overwhelmed and exhausted from trying to be everything for everyone except for herself. If you hear these words and they stir something within you, then this is for you, beautiful soul. It is time to come home to yourself. Sandra Suarez Dominguez can guide you there. Visit luminousinnerwisdom.com. It is absolutely possible to transform your adversity into positivity, minimizing your stress and illness with a mindset reset. Martha Davidson is a mindset reset consultant and rapid transformational therapist. She shares 4 mindset hacks that can lessen your stress and be the catalyst to accelerate happiness, amplifying newfound inner peace of mind. For more information, visit marthadavidson.com. Have you been wondering if this is all there is for you? Feeling the pull that there has to be more? Knowing that you were meant for something big? That is the beginning of your spirit awakening. Your soul is ready to blossom into its truth. Learn how to access your inner priestess with Jamie Hearn, who loves guiding women on the process to becoming exactly who they are. Visit jamiehearn.com. That's jamiehearn.com. Did you know that you hold the greatest truths in your body? Are you ready to feel more confident, claim your desire, and speak it out loud? Are you ready to increase your capacity for pleasure? Yes! The Rediscovering My Body coaching program is for you. Tara Galliano has been transforming women's sexual lives for over 2 decades as a sex therapist. Let her help you. Visit rediscoveringmybody.com. That's rediscoveringmybody.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martine, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today, Paul Fortune, has been sharing his story about all kinds of good things, and cerebral palsy being one of them. So where do we leave off, Paul? Where are we going now?
Well, I mean, I took back my pen.
Yes, you did.
I started writing my story, and yes, that's why I have the passion about helping other people. Yes. And helping businesses. I have this mantra of living for Mondays, because a lot of employees, they're only living 3 days a week. And some of them are not even living 3 days a week because they have this Monday blues where they start to think about what's going to happen on Monday, and it ruins their sleep pattern. They don't enjoy their time with their friends and family anymore. And they wake up all groggy. And there's a reason why most heart attacks happen between 8:30 and 9:30 in the morning Mondays. It's because of all the stress we put on ourselves and what we think is going to happen during our day. I mean, sometimes we think that the Monday is like this horrible, horrible thing. And then you get in your day, and then Monday afternoon will happen. And you go, oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But you ruined your Sunday evening thinking about it. And I want to change that thinking. I mean, there's this great resignation going on where people are starting to take stock in their lives of what's truly important. But what if companies had a different culture where they allowed their employees to live every single day and wanted to be there and wanted to have fun while working? And then at that point, you know, business owners could have the pick of the litter, because all kinds of great talented people want to come to work with this company because it's a great environment to work at. And that's my goal. That's what I'm working on right now, is for employees of companies and organizations to start living for Monday.
That's great. I know somebody who could use it. My husband in his company, he manages a bunch of engineers and project managers, and they could definitely use something like that there. So where can everybody find you, Paul?
The easiest way to get in touch with me is through my website, acalltoaction.coach. I even have a free ebook on there on how you can rewrite your story. And I go into details of how I was able to rewrite my story. And I have a Facebook group called Rewrite Your Story, and it's a great Facebook group because we meet up virtually once a month, and we allow space for everybody to share what's going on in their lives, to tell their stories a little bit, and we're there to not judge, only support. So you have that free space that you can tell things to us too, and we're just there to lift you up. And it's been a great thing, and people join it from all over the world. So we've been having fun with that.
That's really great. That's awesome. So how are you talking to people and companies? Do you go in like, I want to help? How do you approach companies? What is your method and what do you bring? Do you go in and speak?
So I do workshops or talks, mm-hmm. depending on what they want to do. And mm-hmm. I have, you know, different, I've actually got a booklet right here. I've been doing one next Wednesday, okay. here, then awesome. For Mondays here. And I have a pen that I give out to with, mm-hmm. you know, my information on there. Cause I'm all about taking back your story. So mm-hmm. how I got into it was I just started going to different, Chamber of Commerce events. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I started a podcast called It's a Long Beach Thing where mm-hmm. I am in Southern California. Right. And I interview entrepreneurs and business owners or people in the business space. Mm-hmm. So just by connecting with people, it's the greatest thing about networking. I learned this early on, especially in the mortgage space. Don't go into networking events just looking to pass your card and thinking you're going to get business right then and there. It's mm-hmm. about connecting with people, because what happens is I normally don't get business directly from it, but I get a lot of business indirectly from it because mm-hmm. I build these relationships and then somebody will go, have that need and go, I know somebody that does exactly that. Let me get you in touch with Paul. And that's what's been great. And then, you know what? I just try to blow the lid off the thing. So when I do the speech, that people are like, wow, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the name of the movie was, but there was a movie with Dennis Quaid, with Jerry Lee Lewis. Mm-hmm. And there was a scene that's always stuck in my head. He was upset because another headliner was gonna be the headliner, and he had to open the show. And he's like, I should be the headliner. I shouldn't have to open the show. And they said, well, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to open the show. And he said, okay, I'll do that. And then the last set, he played Great Balls of Fire, and he was playing his heart out, and he lit the piano on fire, and everybody's cheering, and people had to go and extinguish the piano. And he walks past the guy that was going to be the headliner and go on, and goes, top that. And that's the idea of what I'm doing. I'm kicking off a Employee Appreciation Day, and I want mm-hmm. to blow the lid off it. So the next person up there is like, oh man, I don't know if I want to follow that.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So like, was there something that, I know, like probably in your entrepreneurial journey, you know, your client has probably changed as you evolve, your clients change and everything. Where did you start out? And is this where you want to be? Just corporations now? Like, what did you start?
I started out, a lot of people with limitations, physical mm-hmm. limitations, maybe cerebral mm-hmm. palsy mm-hmm. or different limitations. I had a client once before who was in a bad accident. Mm-hmm. He was paralyzed from the waist down, mm-hmm. which is a hard thing because, you know, I was born with cerebral palsy. So I've lived this life my whole life. I don't know anything different. Mm-hmm. This person did know a different life. Right. So he really struggled with the thought of never being able to walk. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing a lot of that, which is very, very rewarding. Mm-hmm. But I had this realization because when I was getting into the space and I started to get clients, I wanted to have a goal for myself to have 5 clients a day. Mm-hmm. And so I was getting a lot of clients, and then I had to do a set where I had to do, I think it was 4 clients in a day. And it was emotionally draining on me. You know, because we go deep, and you know, I'm a human being, so I feel mm-hmm. for some of these people. So yeah. I thought to myself, there's no way I could do 5 a day, 5 days mm-hmm. a week. There's no way I could do it. My emotionally wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah.
So I thought, and I loved, you know, in the mortgage space, I always did public speaking events, talking with realtors and everything like that. I'm like, I think I want to transition a little bit and start doing, stuff for companies and organizations start living yeah. for Mondays. And it's really caught on with me. And it's so much easier, believe it or not, it's almost easier getting clientele through companies than it is individually. Because when you're talking with a company and you give them your price, mm-hmm. it's either in the budget or it's not. So it's pretty black and white. They're going to hire you or not. When you talk with an individual that has different budgets and stuff like that, it's a different space. No, don't get me wrong. I'll never stop coaching one-on-one because I love it.
Yeah.
But this new space is just great. Well, it's not really new anymore. I've been doing it a couple of years, but I call it new because I'm back into the in-person stuff, because when I was doing some of the talks I was doing for the last 2 years, it was all through Zoom, which is cool because I could reach, audiences from all over the world.
For sure.
But nothing's better than getting in and doing a live event and feeling that energy. And so I'm back into that now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I get what you're saying, because my clients started out basically as, people who have overcome trauma, adversity, that kind of thing. And it still is, but people on the other side of, they are now like, okay, I have found the blessings and the lessons. And yes, let's start rewriting those pages. Yeah. Those are my people. But it's also like being in that space so often is very heart-wrenching. I'm definitely a very feeling person, and I can find myself in there, very empathic. So I also have a virtual executive assistant business as well. I was a paralegal in the corporate world.
Okay.
So I do both, and I feel like that's a good balance.
Oh, good.
For me to have two businesses. Yeah.
That's a lucrative business right now, that virtual assistants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all stuff I was doing in corporate jobs, law offices, and everything, but now I just do it from home.
Yeah, so great. And you can help people all over the world now.
All over, and especially, I mean, actually all that I work for now, they're all coaches or therapists, one or the other.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
You stay in the space.
I stay in the space and I learn, different techniques, different things, because they're all dynamic. So it's just really cool. I like it. So the diversity is good. So we're going to take a break in a moment again as well. But what would you, if this is a fun question I ask once in a while, if you were to meet somebody just in a coffee shop, or maybe you're walking on the beach and somebody just walks up to you for some reason, man, I need to make some changes in my life. What do you suggest?
In that situation, I would ask that person, what lights you up? Mm-hmm. What excites you? What are the things that you do that excite you?
Mm-hmm.
And list them out. List them out. Write it down. Mm-hmm. Put it in your phone. Write it on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And don't judge yourself. Just keep writing things that you like to do.
Yeah.
And then maybe, a few weeks go by, look at that list. Circle the things that really get you excited.
Mm-hmm.
And go out and pursue those things. Because the thing is that we need as human beings is we have to have a purpose. We got to have a purpose in life. And if you don't have a purpose, that's okay. Your purpose right now could be finding your purpose. And that's a purpose right there.
There you go.
The easiest way to start with that is don't judge yourself and write out things that you like to do and circle the ones that really light you up and see if it's a passion for you.
I love that. And when we get back from a break, I would like to discuss the person that may be overwhelmed, has a lot of, because this just came up for me, so I want to pick your brain. What if this person, one of my clients, is very overburdened on what he owes? And how am I going to get out of this? Oh, I would love to be doing all these things, but how am I going to get out of this? We'll be right back, everyone.
To the beautiful soul who is sick and tired of not being the fullest expression of herself. She who is disconnected from herself, her body, her voice, and her power. She's overwhelmed and exhausted from trying to be everything for everyone except for herself. If you hear these words and they stir something within you, then this is for you, beautiful soul. It is time to come home to yourself. Sandra Suarez Dominguez can guide you there. Visit luminousinnerwisdom.com. It is absolutely possible to transform your adversity into positivity, minimizing your stress and illness with a mindset reset. Martha Davidson is a mindset reset consultant and rapid transformational therapist. She shares 4 mindset hacks that can lessen your stress and be the catalyst to accelerate happiness, amplifying newfound inner peace of mind. For more information, visit marthadavidson.com.
Did you know that you hold the greatest truths in your body? Are you ready to feel more confident, claim your desire, and speak it out loud? Are you ready to increase your capacity for pleasure? Yes! The Rediscovering My Body coaching program is for you. Tara Galliano has been transforming women's sexual lives for over 2 decades as a sex therapist. Let her help you. Visit rediscoveringmybody.com. That's rediscoveringmybody.com.
Have you been wondering if this is all there is for you? Feeling the pull that there has to be more? Knowing that you were meant for something big? That is the beginning of your spirit awakening. Your soul is ready to blossom into its truth. Learn how to access your inner priestess with Jamie Hearn, who loves guiding women on the process to becoming exactly who they are. Visit jamiehearn.com. That's J-A-M-I-H-E-A-R-N.com.
Are you a caregiver who has given everything you have to your loved one and has nothing left for yourself? If you find that you're often feeling drained, overwhelmed, exhausted, angry, and burnt out, then you are in the right place. Debbie Weiss has been a caregiver for over 40 years. She experienced those same emotions until she discovered that she had a secret power. She can help you do the same. For more information, visit caregiversupportsquad.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today has been Paul Fortune, and he's been talking about his life with cerebral palsy and all the adventures and goals and all the good stuff that he's done. So, Paul, before we left, we had talked about if someone approached you and just like was vulnerable and just asked, you know, what can I do to make my life better? And you were saying to make a list of all the things that you want to do. So what if this person, and I have a client recently that mentioned the same thing, but he is very overburdened with too much debt. So what would you give advice to someone who is in the same kind of predicament that he has a whole list of things he wants to do, but how does he get there?
Well, if somebody's overwhelmed and overbearing, whether it be debt or just poor relationships or what have you, start focusing on what is going right in your life right now. What gratitude do you have? I think that is huge.
Yeah.
I have a thing I do for myself and a thing I do for my clients is when you wake up in the morning, before you grab your phone, check your email or talk with the kids, whatever you do.
Yeah.
Take a few minutes to tell yourself what is going well in my life right now. It could be the family, it could be the job, whatever it is, because it starts to prime your brain to start to seek out positive things that happen in your day. I mean, you could get something on your phone that says free coffee. Up, the day keeps getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
Because we all go the negative way too, right? We could be driving to work and get a flat tire and we say to ourselves, this would happen to me. Bad things like this would happen to me. And I would say to that individual is, because you're looking for it. How often do you buy a car and all of a sudden you're driving that car all over the city and you see that same car that you just bought? You didn't see it before you bought the car, but you see it now. It's the same thing with your positive and negative mindset. So if you start to prime your brain to start to look at a more positive things will start to flow your way. And I think that's the first thing that you do when you're overwhelmed. It could just be one small thing. I have my health, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Hang on to something that is going well in your life right now. Gratitude is so important.
Yes, I agree. It was something I actually, are you familiar with Mel Robbins, the 5-4-3-2-1?
Yeah, and I picked up her new book. I haven't started yet, The High Five.
Yeah, I haven't started it either, but I also downloaded it.
Yeah,
but that was something that definitely, you know, resonated with me, is just like, okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, switch, let's go. And just start the day off. I haven't in the last several years, and I teach all my clients this as well. I don't look at anything on my phone. I don't pick up my phone until I get my butt outside for some nature walking, a good workout, some meditation, and then I'll pick it up. I won't.
I love that. I love that a lot.
Yeah. It's very important. If we give ourselves the best, you know, appreciate ourselves, gratitude for, you know, whatever it is. I love going outside and just seeing my beautiful neighborhood. And I've got an equestrian ranch right behind me. So just walking by the horses every day and just, you know, filling myself, and then come back. It's like, okay, I can handle everything now. Like you were saying, you know, spill coffee or whatever it is, like right before, literally 8 minutes before we went live here, I spilled a big old thing of water all over my desk. I'm like, oh, no. You gotta be kidding me. All right, well, go grab a towel and we'll just do the best we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not as bad as that's the thing about our mind. We go down this rabbit hole, right? Oh, yeah. What's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And in reality, a lot of times it's so much different, but we give that space to our mind. And that's why, and our mind's just trying to help us, you know, like I was talking about. Exactly. Yeah. I was talking about, you know, how people think about Monday mornings and all the stresses. Mm-hmm. Your mind just doesn't want you to forget anything and wants you to have a good transition Monday. And that's why it's so important to write it down, put it on a piece of paper or put it in your phone, because then your mind can say, oh, okay, I can rest, because if I forget anything, I can refer to my list that I made already. And I think that is what we can look at. And we also need to look at stress in a different way sometimes. Mm-hmm. We need to look at stress as somebody believes in us. Somebody's putting us in this position because they believe that we can get it done. Mm-hmm. If we have that kind of mindset, we can look at things differently, and that stress might not overwhelm you as much as if you look at it, well, I got a team behind me that believes that I can get it done, whether it be in your personal life or whether it be in your business.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Especially for people in the corporate world.
Yeah.
You know, but we can get it done. And I know that's really important what you're saying too, about just writing something down, putting it down in your phone, because I know sometimes, like right before I'm going to bed, I'll get this thought. And it's like, you know what? I got to go write this down because my mind's going to spin for the night. Like, you're going to forget. You're going to forget.
Yeah.
So it's good to just leave the bedroom, go write it down or whatever the case, and get it out. So where can everybody find you again before we?
Yes. So the easiest way is through my website, a call to action.coach, or like I said before, my Facebook group, Rewrite Your Story. You can get in touch with me. I'm old school that way. I have my contact on there. You call me, whatever. I think I got that from Gary Vee. He's like, I thought that was cool that, you know, he just puts his phone number on there. Well, I'll put my phone number on there too. Now, in the mortgage space too, I did that too. So I really don't care about people calling me. Call me, whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm busy, I won't answer my phone. You know what I mean? So
leave a message.
But most time now, people either text or email me. So
I never mind that either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what words of wisdom would you like to impart on us in the last few minutes?
Well, you know, we talked about this in the beginning, but I want to bring back this. You were talking about moms, and they're the most selfless people on earth. Because like we talk about, they do everything for their kids and they want their kids to be, you know, taken care of. But they do it to the detriment sometimes of themselves and their health. So I want to talk to moms and say, you know what? Give yourself that time. Give yourself that moment to get that massage or do something for yourself. And it's not being selfish. It's necessary, because if you are not right, if you are not healthy, whether it be in your mind or whether it be physically, how do you expect to help your kids or your family? So take that time to give yourself that grace and do what you need to do to feel good about yourself. It's that message about putting on your oxygen mask on first before you assist anybody else. And that's the same thing. That's the hardest thing for moms to do, is that giving up that power of helping somebody else. It's okay to help yourself first.
Absolutely. Just like one of my mentors says, you know, you need to fill your cup to overflowing before you can really help anybody else. And once your cup is full, you're more than ready to help.
Yeah. Absolutely. I believe in that. Yeah. And then another thing is, if you really believe in yourself wholeheartedly, that is the secret sauce. Because when you go for goal, you set goals for yourself, there's going to be challenges that come your way, right? Mm-hmm. And if you believe in yourself and you believe in that goal, when you hit a challenge, you're going to be like, well, okay, let me stop for a second. Let me examine this. Mm-hmm. But I believe in myself and I want this goal so bad, I'm going to find a way over this challenge.
Yes.
Because if you don't believe in yourself and you set a goal and you hit a challenge, you start to come up with excuses. Oh, maybe I don't want to do this. This is too hard or whatever. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to build that foundation of ourselves, that self-esteem. And mm-hmm. once we build up our self-esteem, then that's when we can conquer our goals and our dreams and such.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. We have to be right first mm-hmm. before we can accomplish those goals or help anyone else.
Yeah.
So thank you so very much. I am honored to have you on my show today, and it's been a great conversation. Thank you.
I loved it. I had so much fun. Thank you.
I'm so glad. So I'm sure we'll talk soon. I hope you keep in touch. And thank you everyone so much for watching. We'll see you back here 1 p.m. Eastern on next Friday and 10 a.m. Pacific. And I hope all of you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Transformation with Martinet. Did listening today spark a sense of hope and possibility? Hold on to this feeling and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific for more inspiring conversations with Martinet and her guests. They will show you there is hope and you are right where you need to be. Martinet is dedicated to supporting you right where you are while launching you towards promise, passion, and possibility that leads to the fulfilled life your heart aches for. If you're tired of being stuck, schedule a complimentary consultation with Martinet and get on the exciting path towards the life you want to be living. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.